Well, you know, in the time that we live in, sometimes it can be really difficult to know what's real and what's not. I mean, especially when they call it reality TV, you know it's not going to be real, right? But here's a few things that you can learn from TV and movies. You know, it's easy for anyone to land a plane as long as there's someone in the control tower that can talk them down, right? And anytime you see a grocery shopping bag, there's always going to be at least one stick of French bread sticking out of the top of it. And the ventilation system of any building is a great place to hide. In fact, you can travel to any part of the building through that ventilation system. If you ever need to pass yourself off as a Russian soldier, you don't need to learn to speak Russian. You just have to speak with a Russian accent. That's right. And if you're watching a movie or show, you know, where it's in Paris, it doesn't matter where it is. From every building and from every window in Paris, you can see the Eiffel Tower. Cars that crash almost always explode. Just be aware. A detective can solve any case as long as he's been suspended from duty. Yeah. If there are, you know, if you're in a haunted house and there are strange noises, a woman should always go and investigate. Now, in my house, I always have to go investigate, but I guess that's because it's not haunted. It's okay for me to investigate. Most bombs are fitted with a big red readout to let you know exactly when it's going to go off. And my favorite, you know, if you're in a fight and you're outnumbered, like there's 10 guys fighting you, that's okay because they will all wait patiently and dance around in a threatening manner and try to attack you one at a time. That's the way that works. So, you know, this crazy world we live in, reality just takes a check. I mean, it's hard to know sometimes what's real and what's not. And everything is just so hyped up all the time and advertising. It's so weird how stuff is. It's always the biggest, the best, the fastest, whatever. Just never ends. And it's really kind of scary to me how that you can be scrolling through Facebook and, you know, you've been struggling with a certain health issue, and all of a sudden there's this new miracle cure that pops up in your Facebook feed. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? And you know, sometimes you just can't resist the temptation to click on it and see what it is, and it's as phony as a $3 bill, you know what I'm saying? But how do you know? I mean, we've all seen the picture of the person, you know, or persons that lost 50 to 100 pounds in 6 weeks by just eating this gummy bear every day. But not just about advertising and silly things, but when it comes to important things in life, sometimes it's hard to know what's really real. Right. I remember being 15 years old, sitting in a biology class where they start talking about evolution as though it is fact. And I'm just thinking, how do they know this is real? And when it comes to spiritual things, how do we know what's real? And you see, the end result of all of this is that we live in an age of cynicism and skepticism. And, you know, we learn to be skeptical because there's so much phony stuff in our world. Right. I mean, they talk about the fake news, but it seems like sometimes even what's supposed to be the real news is pretty phony. But I'm just saying, how do we know what's real? The one thing we should always know is that our God is real. We need to know that we know that our God is absolutely real. Don't allow the cynicism and skepticism of the world to keep you from believing in a real God who wants to be a part of your life every day. He absolutely is real. We need to know that. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. I mentioned this story last week, But the Israelites were slaves in Egypt for 400 years, and then the Lord sends Moses to bring them out. Now, Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house, but he wanted to help his own people, and so when he sees one of them being mistreated, he killed an Egyptian, and he ends up being banished for 40 years, and then one day the Lord speaks to him from a burning bush and tells him that it's time for him to go back to Egypt and bring his people out. Exodus 3, 13 through 15, then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent you.'" Moreover, God said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" I want to read that last verse from the NIV. It's just really simple and clear. He says, "This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation." Forever, forever, this is my name. What is it? I am. In Egypt, they worshiped all kinds of gods, many, many gods, and they had names for all of these gods. And so Moses, he knows that. So when he's going to go back and talk to the people, he wants to know whose name, what do I tell them when we ask what your name is? And God says, "I am." I am was a declaration that he is real. All of the Egyptian gods, they were all phony. But he was declaring that he was a real God. He actually is. All of the other gods are not. They had, you know, they had the sun god and the Nile god, and they even had a frog god. But it's amazing how in the 10 plagues, most of you know this story, God sent 10 plagues on the Egyptians. And in those 10 plagues, he exposed and humiliated 10 of their gods and showed that they weren't even gods at all, that he is the only real and true God. I am. It tells us that he is when all other gods are not. Isaiah 44 and 6, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last. Besides me, there is no God." There is no God beside the Lord. He is the only one who is a true and living God. You don't do it during the service, all right? But there, the rest of that chapter, Isaiah 44, it is an amazing chapter how God exposes the foolishness of these idols and false gods, that none of them are real. His statement, his declaration of who he is and the name that he said would be his name forever. Now, he has other names too, but he said that forever his name is I Am. And it is to be known from generation to generation because he is a real God. I Am. It communicates the transcendence of God. Listen, that just means he's the God of everything, of every time, of every place, of all things. He is God. Those Egyptians, they had all of these different gods because they wanted to cover all of their bases. But you see, our God, he is the God of the sun. He's the God of the moon. He's the God of the rain. He's the God of the stars. He's the God of your crops, of your success. He's the God of your family. He is Almighty God over everything. The God of all. And so when he says, I am, we need to understand that we're talking about a big God from all eternity through time and all eternity to come, that he is God. I am. Whatever you need, I am. All you need. He is our source and supply. He is our provider and protector. He's our redeemer and our righteousness. He's our healer. See, he is all-powerful, all-knowing God, and he is our father, our deliverer, our friend. He's everything that we need. Now, when you say that, some people get the wrong idea. He is everything we need. That doesn't mean he is everything or who you want him to be. We need to understand this. You can't just make up your own version of who God is. He is who he is. See, in this religious culture that we live in, even among Christians, the idea that you can just make up your own version of God is not only acceptable, it is embraced and encouraged. It goes right along with the worldly attitudes that, you know, you just do you. Whatever is right for you is right for you. I just want to remind you, what's right is what God says is right. But they say, you know, whatever's right for you. And that morality has come in the church where people just say, well, you know, you do you. This is what's right for me. You have your truth. I have my truth. Listen, there's only one version of the truth. Jesus said, your word is truth. But hear me now. You see, what falls into that, what comes after that is people saying, well, you know what? See, you just we can all have our own version. You know, whoever God is to you, that's fine. And whoever God is to me, there's only one God. There's not many versions. And when we start imagining up our own version of who God is, it is no more real than what the Egyptians worshipped. You might as well be worshiping the frog god as to make up your own version of God. Because this is what he actually said to Moses in Exodus 3, verse 14. He said, I am, there it is, yeah, thank you. I am who I am. He is who he is. And you can't change him. He is who he is. And if we want to know him, if we want to have a relationship with him, then we have to know the one true God, the God of the scriptures, the God that the scriptures speak of and tell us about. That's the God that we want to know. Not some phony God of making of our imagination that is not God. No, we want to know this one who declares himself as the I am. That's the God we want to know. The same God who revealed himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ also called himself, I am. It's in John 8, 58, 59. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am. And those Jews knew exactly what he was saying. They knew that he was claiming to be deity. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from them from the temple grounds. You need to know that Jesus is absolutely God. The Gospel of John, the others as well, but the Gospel of John declares it very clearly, very plainly, that Jesus is God. And this seems to be an issue for some believers. They struggle with this, that they're just not, I don't know how they call themselves a believer, but they're just not really sure if Jesus is God. You need to be sure. You need to know that the same one that appeared to Moses and said, I am, is the same one that showed up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture is not unclear or ambiguous about this. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. 1:14, John 1:14, the Word that was God, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. 8 times in the Gospel of John, Jesus uses this vernacular, this phrase where he says, I am. We just read one, In John 8:58, where he just declared simply, I am. In John 6:25, he said, I am the bread of life. In John 8:12, he said, I am the light of the world. In John 10:9, he said, I am the door. In 10:11, he said, I am the good shepherd. In 11:25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. In John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 15:1, he said, I am the true vine. But eight times, in eight different ways, he declares himself as I am. You see, the same God in Exodus that said he would be known as I am is Jesus in the New Testament. And what God was saying to the Israelites when he says, I am, he's saying, I am with you. And Jesus tells us the same thing. I will be with you to the end of the age. Jesus is with us. But he is the God who is here with us in the midst of our problems and struggles and difficulties. He says, I am. He is here right now. Right now, in this service, but he is always with us. Right now, I am. See, that's what I am says to us, that he is always with us. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Very present. He's right here in the present. We need to know this, that in the present, he is I am. See, he was before time began, and he will always be for all eternity. But he declares himself to be I am. He doesn't say I was, my name is I was. He doesn't say my name is I will be. He declares himself to be a right now God. And we need to know him this way, that he is a God who is moving and working and present in our lives right now. We read the Bible, we're not just reading about history. We're reading about a mighty God who wants to work in our life. I am. It tells us that he is present in the here and now. See, some people always want to relegate God to the past. You know, God used to do great things, but he just doesn't do those things anymore. It always astounds me that it's so-called believers that say things like that. I mean, they act like God did miracles in the Old Testament and, you know, maybe even in the New Testament, but not now. Those days are over. And some will say, well, you know, that was only by the hands of the apostles. I'll tell you, you don't have to read the Bible very much to know that that is pure hogwash. And how men can go to the seminary and come away with some of this garbage is absolutely amazing to me. Because if you read the Bible, you'll see it wasn't just the apostles that God did miracles through. Listen, it was the Holy Spirit that did the miracles, and he didn't just use the apostles. He used men like Stephen we talked about just a few weeks ago. This man, Stephen, God did signs and wonders at his hand. And then there was Philip, who ministered in Samaria, and God did miracles through him. Neither of them were apostles. And all through church history, God has used people and done miracles and signs and wonders. And yet people don't believe. Listen, we ought not be too discouraged when people don't believe that miracles are happening right here and right now, because they saw the Lord Jesus doing miracles and still didn't believe. They can always find a way to not believe. But we need to believe in the God who said we are to know him this way. I am. He's present. He's right here and right now. Some people want to relegate God to the future. You know, someday God is going to do some awesome things. You can read about it in the book of Revelation. Someday. Someday, you know, we're going to see something good out of God. He's finally going to wake up and do something. I mean, you know, Maybe he's just taking a long break, but he's just not doing anything in our day and time. It's weird how people have these attitudes about God. He doesn't change. Now, I want to acknowledge and I want you to understand, yes, there are some appointed times for certain things. I mean, the children of Israel, he declared that they would be in bondage in Egypt for 400 years, and they were. There was an appointed time when he was going to have them brought out and delivered from that. And there are certain things, appointed times in our lives where God is going to do a certain thing. But you see, we get lost in that when we think that everything is out there in the someday. You know, tomorrow. It's always tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. I said it wrong, didn't I? It's always today. And yet, a lot of people, they always relegate God to the future. You know, somehow, someday. And yes, God gives us a hope and a future. We should have, you know, visions and dreams and plans for the future. But if we want to get to where God has for us and where we want to be, we need to understand that there's a right here and a right now where we got to let Him be God in our life. It's just amazing how religious people always have a way of putting God either in the past or in the future, but not in the right now. And He declares, I am. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. There will never be a time when He is not I am. There'll never be a time when He will not be present, when he will not be there with us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what Hebrews 13:8 says. Such a powerful verse. The Old Testament version of that is Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Now I want to tell you, when you really get a hold of that truth, you get it down in your heart, it'll settle a whole lot of theological issues for you. He does not change. Whenever people start trying to tell you or imply that God used to be this way, but now He's this way, red flags need to go off or go up. He has never, ever changed. It is always amazing to me how people will talk about God in the Old Testament, and they'll say, you know, in the Old Testament, He was mean and angry, and, you know, He took vengeance on people, and he was harsh. Oh, but now in the New Testament, you know, He's forgiving and kind and loving, and it's all good. I'll say it again. Why don't people just read the Bible? I read in the Old Testament over and over and over that His mercy endures forever. I mean, I read where David says, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I mean, I read in the Old Testament where David says, He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. I read where it says that He is a God who is ready to forgive. And you see the compassion, the mercy, the love of God all through the Old Testament. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's all Old Testament. And then you come to the New Testament. I can tell you, a lot of people need to wake up because God hasn't changed. He's still the judge of all the earth. And the judge of all the earth will always do what is right. And I read in the book of Revelation where when the wrath of God is poured out, it says that men will hide their faces from the wrath of the Lamb. You know, the Lamb, Jesus, the one who paid the price for our sin. But wicked men will hide their faces from the gentle, loving Lamb of God. Yes, they'll hide their faces from the wrath of the Lamb. Now see, I know for some of you, you know, right now it's kind of like mind blown. And some of you are thinking, well, I don't believe that. Listen, there's only one God. He is the God of the Scriptures. And if you make up your own version, you're worshiping a false god. We want to know this God, the I Am, the one who's real, the one who's present in the right here and the right now. You see, we need to understand, God deals with man progressively. This is where the confusion is. You see, people think he's changed. No, he deals with us progressively. Through history, he deals with man and he reveals things and he shows us more. You see, in the Old Testament, the law came so that we could know that we were sinners. So that we could know that we were not holy, that we were not righteous, that our righteousness was as filthy rags. And then in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus is the sacrifice for our sin so that we can be completely forgiven and be holy and righteous before God because of what Jesus did. And how do we receive that? It's by faith. But did you know that nobody ever was made righteous by the works of the law? It has always been this way. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. It has always been by faith. Nobody has ever been righteous before God by their works. It is only by faith. We need, you see, but God deals with us progressively. He reveals himself to us. He shows us more truth. And that doesn't only happen through history, it happens in our personal lives. As we walk with the Lord, we should know him better. We should understand things that we didn't understand a year ago. You see, we ought to always be growing. And as you know, if we stay in church and we read our Bible and we pray, we worship God, and we stay close to God, I'm telling you, that you will begin to see things and understand things and know things, that God will continue to move and work in your life as you grow in the Lord. And you'll look back on the years and you'll say, wow, remember how dumb I used to be. But he deals with us progressively. And so, yes, we see and we understand more, but it's not because God has changed, it's because our understanding has deepened. But he is the God who says, I am. I am the Lord who heals you. He's still our provider, and we need to remember that he is always present. When he says, I am, that means he is. Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. We also got to believe that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. But I just want to focus on this. You got to believe that he is. Not just he was or he will be, he is. Today, Lord, you are my deliverer. Today, you are my peace. Today, you are my portion. Today, you are my healer. Today, you are my redeemer. You see, it needs to be right here and right now for us. Yes, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega, but he's also everything in between. I said it before, but God has an appointed time for certain things. And sometimes it's hard because his timing is different than what we would like. Amen? Amen. But we do need to realize that even though there might be an appointed time for certain things, that doesn't mean that God doesn't want to do something in our life right now. You know, I'm sure that the children of Israel, after being in slavery for 400 years, it was hard for them to leave the past behind, the old ways and the old mindsets. And you know what? It's the same today when we begin to walk with God. Sometimes it's hard for us to leave behind the past of the old hurts, the failures, the mistakes, the disappointments. But here's the thing. We need to realize that this God who showed up for the Israelites as I am, he is the I am in our life. And we need to realize that he is in our life to move and to work and to bring life change and to help us through our struggles, through our failures. He is the I Am, always, always. And He is for us. The devil just always tries to get people focused on their past or focused on their future to keep us from realizing that God wants to do something right now. Don't allow the past to keep you from what God wants to do. He is your Redeemer, your Healer. He is your righteousness. He is your strength. There's things that God wants to do in our life today. Miracles, blessings, victories. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient is the day for its own trouble." Now, He's not saying that we should worry about tomorrow. He's already said twice in that passage that we're not supposed to worry. But here He is saying, what He's saying is that we got to live in the present. In the moment, we need to realize in the right here and the right now that God is present with us. And yes, there's some things that are for someday, but right here, right now, God wants to be I Am in your life. And you see, the sad thing is that sometimes people get focused on their future so much so that they don't realize there's something that God wants to do in me now. In fact, I've seen this in ministry a lot of the time, that there are people who want to do some great thing for God someday, but they're not willing to do the little thing that God has put right before them right here and right now. You see, we can never live in the future. We are always living in the right now. And that's why God says to us, I am. He wants us to know that He is right here in our right now. Someday, we're going to do those things we intended to. Someday, we're going to really get dedicated, committed, you know. Someday, we're going to get more involved in the work of the Lord. Someday, you know, I'm really going to start giving to the church. Someday, I'm going to talk to my neighbor about the Lord. Someday, now. Now is the time. Now is the time to serve the Lord. You know, the truth is, we don't know if we have 10 years. We don't know if we have a year. We're not even guaranteed tomorrow. The book of James tells us, you don't know what will happen tomorrow. And I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not trying to scare anybody. What I'm saying is God wants to do something in your life right now. Right now. And right now, there are things that we're supposed to do. Things that we need to be doing in our life. Not putting things off to someday. Don't waste your today. You know, when in the parable of the talents, those that are faithful in little, Jesus said, will be trusted with much. But you see, if we waste our today, we end up with not much of a tomorrow. We need to realize that sometimes we need to believe God today. In Mark 11:24, Jesus says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Believe you receive them. See, not everything is out there in the future somewhere. Sometimes we need to believe we receive. And Jesus says, you'll have them. He's a right here, right now God. And we need to believe Him. Luke chapter 12. I want to read this parable that Jesus tells about a rich man, verses 16 through 21. He spoke this parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? I will do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store my crops and my goods. I mean, this guy is living the American dream. It's like, you know, he's just, his business is blowing up in a good way. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what am I going to do? I got so much, I'm going to have to build bigger barns. And I will say, to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I want to tell you, we need to be eternity-minded in the sense that we should always realize that life is more than just eat, drink, and be merry. Life is more than us just enjoying, you know, and the pleasures of this life. Life is more than that. And this man wasted what he had. He didn't do anything. He didn't plan for eternity. And I want you to understand what I'm saying. You see, how do you make a difference in eternity? How do you make a difference in your eternity? We're all going to be rewarded according to what we've done in this life. That's what the scripture says. How do you make a difference in your eternity? It is what you do right now. How do you make a difference in somebody else's eternity? It's what you do right now. Amen. That rich man, he wasted it all. He had a lot, and yet he wasted it. We want to be rich toward God. It matters what we do with our right here and our right now. Right. And I'm telling you that this I am God, he wants to move and work in and through our lives right here and right now. Right. Don't waste it. Don't make the mistake of saying someday, but instead be rich toward God. Use what you have for the kingdom. Give yourself to the Lord's work and believe that he is still here moving and working in our lives. One last time, Exodus 3:15. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. He is your peace right now. He's your healer right now. Right now, he is your provider. He says, I am. He says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God. He is I am. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.